From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action, and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
Guess what decision we're about to make?
Horrible decision.
Howdy, everybody. We are the Horrible Decisions Podcast, and we are going to be in Dallas, Texas, Memorial Day weekend. Bitch, it's a Sunday. We're going to be headlining the Two Together Land Festival, and you bitches better not have no motherfucking work on Sunday. Call out, ho.
I mean, you could do that, but also, it's a three-day weekend. They have Monday off. We will see you guys in Dallas, Texas at the Togetherland Festival. Make sure you get your tickets now. We will be live on the podcast stage. That's May 26th. Get your tickets now at Togetherland.com. Hi, guys. Welcome. It's another episode of Horrible Decisions, and I'm speaking this fucking professional because we have a doctor in the building. It's giving science, and guys, I can't wait to get into the goddamn conversation. Anyways, guys, I'm your girl, Mandy V, aka Pet the Stallion, aka Deadbeat.
I'm a person that does believe in science. My name is Weezy. If you're watching on the YouTube, yes, this is the fake Beyonce outfit from tour. We got an email in, probably your PR team, I don't know. But anyway, you know, we had a lot of emails that, of guests that want to come on. And I was like,
and we ignore a lot of y'all niggas.
I was like, sorry. I was like, we've already had a guy on. But then I started clicking and I was like, okay, it's black man. We never had a male guy on. And also, I was like, the tattoos kind of got me. Uh-huh. It was like, is he a real doctor? You know what I'm saying? Because uh-huh. You remember the guy that had that little fake certificate.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I wasn't sure. And then I'm like, do he just want to look at pussy?
So who do we have in the building today, Weezy?
Dr. Michael Reed, the cosmetic GYN.
Yes, yes.
So you don't only go into pussy and deliver babies. You want to fix it and make it a pussy.
You reconstruct pussy.
You see what men do? They want to fix it.
We fix it.
What be wrong with it?
Well, it's not me, right? But when you talk about men, we just happy to be there. Ooh. This is for women. Mm-hmm. Women are saying, I want this or I want that. And guess what? I give them this or that they ask for. It could be anything. It could be, I don't like the way it looks. It could be, I don't like the way it feels.
What about smell?
Smell, you can't help that too.
Okay, we'll get into that. By the way, if y'all are watching on our YouTube, Dr. Reed has a wonderful pen. And where we where what you thought of, oh, like a pen, like what you write
they
with.
They can't see.
That's what I'm saying. He has a lovely pen on his coat jacket. And where Weezy thought it was a flower, it is the flower of Mother Nature. I want this goddamn pen of a pussy. Mm. And I would like to start off, before we get into what you're able to do, how this started with your profession. When did you know that you wanted to be a cosmetic OBGYN and deal with the vagina, not only on a personal level, but on a professional?
I feel like everybody wanted to be in it all day, but yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I'm a traditional OBGYN. That's how it started.
Okay.
And I've been practicing 24, 26 years.
Practicing?
OBGYN, right? And so I would say maybe 5 years ago, I had this feeling that, you know, what drew me first to medicine and OB was caring for women, you know, making sure that I could do everything that they needed to do, deliver babies, be supportive, encourage, and treat, right? And can you believe that's what got me there? But one day I said, it's hurting me. It's draining me for some reason, right? And I said, I got to try to figure out something to do. It's one of the difficult things for physicians is that there's no place to turn when you get...
When you get bored?
Well, that's a nice way of saying it. Yeah.
you did say it.
I lost my passion. You was bored looking at pussies all day. And you were like, what else can I do with the pussy?
How many years in did pussy become boring?
Like, were you... 17. 16, 17 years.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So, at the beginning, because I feel like every man watching this wants to know... You're starting off with clients.
Yeah.
In the beginning, are you like, oh my God, this is a good one? Is it the person? Is it like, when do you stop thinking for yourself and become total doctor?
As soon as I walk into my front door and turn the T.
I know that's
how you mean I'm lying. Look, listen, here. I'm going to tell you, you guys are women. You guys are sexual. You guys are prowesses. You guys are champions. You guys are leaders.
Prowesses.
And you
I'll be on a prowess. I don't think you
all call us a harlot.
But you all can feel energy, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
I've been called a siren.
So if you're coming in to see me and I'm looking at you with a different energy, you're going to feel it immediately.
That's right.
And so I want to change the landscape for women as it pertains to their sexual enhancement or gratification. So if I'm going to try to do this for all women, well, then all women is business, right? The only business I have, fun business, is at home, right? So I want to change things. So I can't be this person, whether it's behind the scenes or outright blatant. I got to be who I am. And that's to change things.
I love that.
That's what all. So
that's what when funny, you yeah, ask, that's what he said.
When do I really turn this on?
Yeah.
When I go into my office.
Have you experienced moments where you're almost seeing it so much that when you get home to your wife, you're like, I've had enough?
I feel like we asked this question a point.
No. No, because remember, I turned it off. And I'm a man. So as soon as I go out the door, I turn it back on. And when I turn it back on, I'm looking at everything. I look at, if I'm at the beach, I got some. I'm going to look there. I got the same feelings, same thoughts, same things that men do.
Have you ever got hit on by a big... Well, I know you have. Tell us about a time.
It was early in my career. So what I've learned, because I've opened a practice in North Carolina, Nebraska, and now Sacramento. And so what I've learned is when you first come out, see, I feel like I'm high value, okay?
Oh, so, Lord.
Yeah, I'm coming
high
with it.
High value black man.
Well, you black folks, I know it.
Yeah, the way we just hate high value, we got to get you another word for that.
Okay. Well, I think I'm a great person.
There we go.
All right. And like I said, I want to be the best, right? So, having said that, what was the question?
When you get, tell us about the time you've been hit on.
So, I was setting that, because you're going to have to help me with that. I was setting this up. So, like I said, you got to be all right and everything. And I got a letter from a patient. That's what I got, was a letter.
That's real old school.
Yeah, this was a long time ago. You got to remember.
Oh, it was old time. Okay.
It was a long time ago when I first started. She said she was going to do this, that, and that, and everything else too.
Yeah, 17 years ago, there wasn't even cell phones.
Mm-mm. You had already been up there. She was a patient.
Wasn't. The only cell phones was the little big old thing that they put in a car that we saw in like New Jack City and shit.
No, they had cell phones 17 years ago. Girl, we were in high school.
Not 17 years ago.
Are you fucking Mandy?
I'm doing the math. Bitch, I ain't an accountant no more. That just sounded like a long time ago. We had cell phones? I did in eighth grade. Let me do the math.
Girl, we are
old. Okay. No. Speak for yourself.
Okay, wait. Keep going. So she wrote you a letter. What about when you're in it? You never had someone when you're in it be like, well, hey, if you want to see it outside of your gloves.
Nah, I haven't had that. Because, like, listen, like I told you, when you first come in, you're shutting it off, right? And then the patient can feel it if you are not on or off, right? They can feel it. The last thing is that they, if you set yourself up and people know
they do
that you don't do these things, then those pressures go away.
What about some weird requests or even boundaries you've had to make? For example, we saw T.I. online saying that he made the doctor make sure his daughter's hymen was there. Have you ever had any fathers just have ridiculous requests or something that you
that's
felt like...
That's entirely ridiculous. Sorry, T.I. But that's entirely ridiculous. You know, the hymen breaks, you know, at 12 years old. I mean, you could be running, you could be riding a bike, you could do anything, and the hymen breaks. So it has nothing... I mean...
So that is a myth. You're cherry popping, you're hymen breaking like, from penetration.
Did yours?
That is a myth.
I did lose it. Mine did pop from penetration. Did yours?
My period started. but I don't know about it like that. First off, it was just the head that went in too, so I don't think it really broke.
Oh, so yours did it.
I don't think my hymen broke.
But mine must have been real low. Nothing happened.
My period, mind you, I started my period maybe only 4 or 5 years before I lost my virginity. So me understanding my body or my cycle, I was just waiting for blood to come. I ain't know when that motherfucker was coming. I just knew it was coming. And so I do believe, like, I had a full period. I didn't spot.
Oh,
like,
okay.
A full period. So I was like, well, I hope I ain't getting this nigga cord.
Anyway, so have you ever had a father or mother come to you about their kid's virginity or something that you said, this is unethical, I can't?
No. No. Mm-mm. I haven't had that.
We guess the weirdos are in Atlanta.
Well, not the weirdos are in Atlanta.
Well, what about husbands?
Ooh.
Are husbands ever coming to you maybe saying, hey, can you influence my wife to maybe take some estrogen? Maybe this or that? Or...
No, the best patient is when both the husband and the wife comes in, right? Because it takes two to tango. And so one of the things that I want to do is try to get them to see what it is that's going on so that they can be honest with each other.
Mm.
Because what we're really dealing with is really aren't these procedures. We're dealing with the most awesome thing that we all enjoy, which is pleasure, which is intercourse, which is intimacy and being together.
So right? Are you more sexual health focused than you are regular gyno?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I let go of.
I love it.
I let go of delivering babies. Because when you guys go to an OBGYN, that you go in and they do a pap smear, they give you birth control, talk about that or not, yes or no, do an STD check. And if you're at the appropriate age, they tell you to get a mammogram and they tell you to go on out the door. None of those things actually involve the real life concerns of women, especially the modern day women.
I will say too, with my brand, like Periodsis, a lot of women have talked about their traumatic stories with OBGYNs. Huh. And unfortunately, a lot of women that go in with concerns are literally told, here's birth control. This will regulate everything. And it's not always the answers because there's PCOS, there's endometriosis, mm-hmm. there's all of these things that actually affect the cycle. And so I love that you're like, it becomes almost like a business, unfortunately, mm-hmm. where we come in for our yearlies. Mind you, back in the 90s, 80s, 70s, it's called yearlies. We're not being told you really only have to go maybe every 3 years.
Yeah.
They're not even telling women. They're also not administering mammograms unless you're a certain age. My best friend literally was diagnosed with breast cancer at 34.
Mm.
And now we're being diagnosed at an earlier age. Another one of my best friends decided to keep a child because she's had so many fibroid removal surgeries
mm-hmm.
that her becoming pregnant is almost as a miracle.
Yes.
And so there's so many conversations that aren't being had. And I love that you are a Black male doctor wanting to just be that ear for women that go beyond, like, again, the yearlies and that. Y'all, look, I'm trying not to get emotional because these conversations with my friends recently, they don't feel safe with OBGYNs.
Yeah.
And I love that we have you on here because I wanted to really dig into that where clearly you're now leaning towards the cosmetic route where you have these other conversations with women. But for our reproductive health. I'm not sure where the mark has been missed in education or with whatever practicing you guys have to do. If you don't mind me asking that, you as an OBGYN, mm-hmm. where do you feel like that mark is missed, where the care specifically of Black and Brown women is missed upon in terms of them coming into your office and expressing pain, irregular periods, and things regarding their reproductive system?
There's disparities in health. What are you talking about? We know that. Black women are treated differently than Caucasian, Asian women, all the other women. One of the things that I did when I first started was is that I put my practice was gigantic. I have a gigantic practice. I had a gigantic practice that I left. I would say the majority of my practice was probably 60% African-American and 40% everything else. And everything else came later. African-Americans came first. And my mission at that time, which still runs, is, hey, you're going to get the same care whether you go to a white doctor or you go to a Black doctor. In fact, you're going to get different, more personalized care, and you're going to know that you have an educated physician. Mm. I work hard to be mentally strong. I work hard to be a warrior for you too. You know what I'm saying? So when you come to me, mm-hmm. you're going to get the same care you're going to get anywhere else. And the other thing is that we don't listen. It's very difficult. And I think some of the disparities come about because you don't look like the doctor. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Like literal.
Yes.
That's a very like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm being frank. No, you guys are straight hit. Exactly. Personal connection, which brings you in to make you want to find or push or do that extra. Right. So when you think
because
like
the way maybe right, you come, I'm expressing you, pain to you. Now you view me as your mom, your aunt.
Right.
Your sister.
You remind me of my Aunt Lisa. Aunt Lisa. Whew.
Shout out to Aunt Lisa.
There she is.
What was wrong with her?
Shut up.
Aunt Lisa, you remind me of her. So when you coming in, I see her, right?
Right. Mm.
And so when you telling me you got pain, I ain't going to say, oh, it's just PID. I'm going to say, okay.
It's anxiety. It's
yeah, stress. Yeah. I'm going to say, what else is going on? What should be happening anyway? But one of the things that I really try to do is I want to do that for everybody. And that's why my practice is so diverse. Because when they do come in, they go, huh. Wow, he's smart. He cares. He feels. I have so many ladies that come in and they're nervous. And by the end of the time, they're talking to me. And I just give you a
hug. Spread their legs open.
I'm the bitch that wrote the letter.
This is Horrible Decisions. We want to have a quick icebreaker because this is getting really scientifical.
All right.
And
yeah.
we want to have some fun with you.
Okay.
So you started a series on your page.
I'm
on
only on letter D.
So now we going into it. So you have the ABCs.
That was so crazy.
Of what's the game called?
Gynecology?
Yeah, gynecology. Cosmetic gynecology.
Sorry,
I thought you were going to say gonorrhea.
No, bitch. Now that could be the G. Anyways, Weezy and I, when we first started touring, we used to do this thing where we would have to go down ABC and list porn categories, right? Mm. However, for the ABCs of gynecological cosmetology, bitch, these are some big ass motherfucking scientific words. What we want to do is Weezy and I are going to literally pull a letter
out of
thin fucking air from A to Z. All right. What we want you to do is name something that relates to that letter, and then we're going
to
dive into it.
No, we have props,
so let's have fun.
That was crazy.
Do what?
No. So by the way, your page, y'all, this motherfucker said anal skin tags. Now, I just want
you
to know.
Why don't you pull out?
No, okay.
So we could hear a little bit about A.
Now, what's crazy is, let me tell you, I just started, this is a heavy booty hole, baby.
Mandy is, by the way, for everybody not watching, she is pulling out a big, is it silicone?
Yeah.
We might have to blur this if y'all watching. Anyway, let me tell you, so I watched your video and I literally sent it to Weezy today and I'm like, ain't no skin tags. So I got skin tags underneath my armpits.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I learned from when I go to my lasering,
mm-hmm.
that skin tags are very prevalent within the Caribbean community.
Mm-hmm.
Because of our melanin, however we shave, we are more susceptible to skin tags, which literally, if you have it, it's just like extra skin that just hangs. You do have to have it cosmetically removed, which I learned.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about
what is an anal skin tag? Hold on, we got to talk about the boot hole.
Okay.
Anal skin tag. Let's get into it before Weezy gives you another letter.
All right. Anal skin tags. They're pesky little critters, you know? They get in the way.
Not to be confused with a hemorrhoid.
Exactly.
How do you separate the two?
So a hemorrhoid is going to be painful. It could be red. It'll hurt. It'll be uncomfortable, and you'll want something to be done right away. Anal skin tags are more of a pesky little thing. It gets in the way, makes it a little bit more difficult to clean.
It just don't look as cute, too.
It don't look as good. And then I know you, so you might not want tags there.
Y'all, he is jamming his finger into the air.
Not the knuckle girl.
Yes, that's the knuckle girl.
So if someone... The knuckle girl is...
The knuckle girl is crazy.
My Aunt Lisa was a knuckle girl.
No, she wasn't. Well, she could be. I don't know.
That ain't what we share at the family reunion.
Right, yeah, she didn't tell me that.
So when you first saw anal skin tags, like, are people like, yo, I keep trying to wipe it and I think it's shit and it's not?
No.
Or is it a pimple? What do they think it is?
They know what it is. Most of the time, they know what it is.
Okay.
And they go to their OBGYN, usually. And they look, they say, what is that? They say, oh, that's an anal skin tag. That's normal. That just comes from pushing and hemorrhoids. You don't need to fix that. If you want to, you can go to a surgeon or something. So then they go to the surgeon. And the surgeon says, yeah, those are anal skin tags. That's cosmetic. You know, not much there. Love the Hermes bracelets, by the way. and nothing's done. But what she's really saying is, I don't like these things. I don't like the way they look. I want to feel better about my own self. Can you help me? If it ain't broke, they ain't messing with you.
Doctors, which is why, right. Which is why let's make it very clear, which is why cosmetic is now in front of
gynecology.
It's just a term.
Right.
It's just a term. So we're board certified. We're OBGYNs. I do everything I'm supposed to do to keep that certification. But I got to be able to communicate to you guys. I got to say, I'm different. I'm going to listen to the real life concerns of the modern day woman. Right? So now when it comes to this anal pesky skin tag, I'm going to take care of them.
Now, what about M? Just give us any term you can think
M.
of.
M.
Majora. But that starts with labia.
That's my favorite. That's one of my favorite. Labia majora.
Ooh, that sounded nasty. Ooh. That's my favorite.
Labia majora.
So that is what you're mainly working on in cosmetics, right?
No, I work on everything. There's not much I can't do to the vulva.
Now, let's flip it. Hold on.
That's V.
Right.
No, labia majora is like
that's
the
bigger outer.
The labia come first.
No, I'm saying, I thought mainly when people want to come in for cosmetology, they want that trim. Like, I always thought that was probably the number.
Yeah, so you're talking about the labia minora.
Minora, not majora.
Not majora, bitch. Look at
this.
I say the science is iffy. It's tricky.
Okay.
So we're going to do all this.
Okay, let's get a
quiz. For your audience.
Okay, so talk to it.
You bitches.
That's the lips.
Okay. First, this whole thing is the vulva.
Whole thing is the vulva.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Outer lips are the bigger ones. Those are majora, right? And then the inner lips, menorah.
Oh, like a Jewish.
Whoa.
Like Hanukkah.
Okay.
What?
And then you got the clit.
And then you got the
clitoris.
Clitoral hood. And under the hood is the
clitoris.
Dot.
And that's only part of the clitoris. I think there's a little clitoris in that bag, too. Right here is this little area is the urethra. And then this pink ribbed area, when you do check yourself and feel, you'll feel
a ribbed. Yes.
Yep, it broke.
That's the wishbone.
Yep. That was the
clitoris and it broke.
Hold on, go back to the inside.
Yeah, so the inside, it's ribbed. It's right up here on the anterior vaginal wall. Right?
And is that?
And that's the G-zone. G-spot.
Okay.
G-spot.
Why don't you call it the G-spot? You call it zone?
Because you're not turkeys. You know, you don't just poop and a pop and a little spot. You have an area. You have a vulva. You have it. Some women like a little more touch on the side. Some want across the top. Or you want it here. It's not just one spot. It's an area or a zone. Right?
What are different things that you could see maybe... When patients come in, they're unhappy with. Uh-huh. Can you point to some of those things?
One, labia majora, labia minora, anal skin tags, clitoral hood.
What do they want done to the hood?
Well, there's a couple things that you do to the hood. So there's a condition called lichen sclerosis that affects women where it causes the labia to get smaller, things stick together, kind of that shrink, don't lose it. One of the other things that happens is that hood will stick over the clitoris, like this. So how are you going to get access to it? So you're not going to be able to feel it. And sometimes sensitivity will change.
My shit too sensitive. I need to desensitize.
I mean, I guess I'm more into the zone area. Uh-huh. So because I come off of vaginal penetration.
All right.
Like, you can't eat my pussy, but it's not like, ooh. Like, it's cool. When I come by myself, I like my clit played with. But when I'm with a partner, I enjoy the penetration mm-hmm. aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. So maybe the O shot would be something that's like.
So I think the one of the other things that are really great, it's a tool too. It's a tool. It's called Vag Angela.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
It changed the angle of the vagina. All right. So the vagina, this is the vagina. The vagina has a downward angle. On purpose, I'll use this hand, downward angle. So that, remember, up here is the clitoris. We just talked about the G-zone, which is in the anterior vaginal wall. So there you got an angle. So it doesn't matter the size of the penis at this point because you have the angle.
I like that you angle. Just say that. Calm down. Hold on. We going to retract.
I didn't watch that one episode. I saw okay, it, okay. But I didn't have enough time
off,
to watch.
First off, why does the size of the penis not matter? Let's get into that.
Yeah, that sounds fucking insane.
Because.
You can get out.
Well, I don't have a vagina, so I don't know.
The episode is
yeah, ending. You don't. Well, go ahead.
So what I'm saying is,
so the size don't matter because
of the angle. All the sensitivity is at the upper part, anterior vaginal wall, and clitoris.
So dicks that curve up are superior. Is what
they
you're
might
saying.
Be. They might be.
I don't like them.
There you go. So not good for her.
I'd be like, hey, now I got to go left when you're going right.
Hey, you poking a little way.
Actually, I want to have a little bit of a vulnerable moment with you because Mandy sent something that said, oh my God, he does surgery for vaginal dryness. This is, I've never heard of that. So last year, actually the year before, I was on antidepressants and it was very humbling for me not to have no little wet coochie no more. Mm-hmm. So I had to go through hormone therapy and it was really tough. I mean, when I tell you I was on Vitex, this Chase Berry, I was taking every fucking thing and it just wasn't working. And it was so upsetting because I was like, damn, I feel like the person I'm with can feel me. And also, I understand we're supposed to be like super sex positive about lube, but I'm in my 30s, like, and I'm early 30s. I don't want to pull this fucking bottle out. So I'm curious, now I'm better, but I'm curious to know, can you give some advice to women that are experiencing vaginal dryness that maybe medication like myself that aren't going through menopause?
I was
going to
say perimenopausal mm-hmm. as well, like where they're not fully there yet.
But I mean, this is a lot of young women listening to this mainly. So
right.
Maybe and they went out and just had too many pickleback shots like me when I literally finally had the time to fuck this nigga. I've been wanting to fuck my whole life damn near. And baby, I was embarrassed by how dry my coochie was. But it's because we had been drinking
all night. If a woman's experiencing regular vaginal dryness mm-hmm. at a younger age, like mm-hmm. what would you recommend and have you seen that?
Sure, you see it. That's part of the early things that happen. So the first, there's a few things. Hormonally wise, in your 30s, late 20s, your testosterone level will begin to drop. Mm-hmm. Okay. Testosterone is one that gives you the confidence, the swag, and makes you want to have sex.
Estrogen give us that confidence, but okay.
No, I'm telling you.
Let him be the doctor, man. He did.
Testosterone is just giving real masculine. Okay.
Yeah, it makes you horny, increases your libido. Then estrogen also is a wonderful hormone that your vagina loves. It stimulates the cells to develop, become larger, and secrete more mucus. And that's what makes you more wet. Like when you're pregnant, neither one of you been pregnant because I listen. You ain't had none. Don't
I
want
done
none.
Had a boy.
You don't.
She done had a few.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple. We talked about it on the pod.
Okay, Manny, damn.
But I'm just saying, we've both been pregnant.
No, I'm just saying, like, I had one, she had a few. I was 17 and 25, okay?
I know, but we talked about it on the pod. It wasn't shady, I promise.
Okay, keep going.
Sorry, Pike,
let's get to this point.
So what she can do is, one, we could check hormones, but if she's young, she needs to stay hydrated. Mm-hmm. Make sure she drinks lots of water. Two, you need to think about what different procedures are available. You can do Thermiva, which I call a magic stick. You can do laser, which helps with increasing blood flow and lubrication.
Now, what laser is someone doing to their vagina?
Laser. There's a few lasers. Fractional CO2 laser.
But what is this? You said Thermiva, uh-huh. And then you looked at what you actually brought.
Yeah.
What does this do for a woman with her vaginal dryness?
So it will stimulate. You use it in the vagina, and you warm the vagina up, and it slowly warms it up like a hot stone massage. You know, like when you go get your pedicure. Slowly but warmly, it gets it done. And that stimulates the vagina to increase collagen and elastin and new blood vessel growth. Now, when you get new blood vessel growth, that means you're carrying more water. So if you're staying hydrated, you're going to feel better. If you have more collagen and elastin, the cells are going to be plumper. The nerves are going to be better. You're going to respond and you'll become more lubricated.
Can I ask you, For this one specifically. Mm-hmm. So I went to a dungeon and experienced electromagnetic waves inside of my pussy for the first time. And it felt like there was eight tongues eating me from the inside out.
Mm.
Now, with this therapy, you do this, or is there a way that a person's partner could do this for them? Because this to me does create a stimulation where if I'm in a doctor's office and I feel this level of stimulation, I don't know if I want to be aroused as a patient.
You better do I do. Turn it off when you walk in.
So I had the butterfly pelvic floor therapy. That's not the same, is it?
What's the difference?
Listen,
I haven't heard the butterfly.
Well, they call it the butterfly, but basically, I had some sexual trauma when I was young. I've talked about it on the pod before. Not young, but
like vaginismus, dealing with that.
Mm-hmm. Basically, I had a partner that was super abusive, and I got my body would tighten when we had sex. And
that's what vaginismus is fear.
Right. Mm-hmm. But they said that I had to do pelvic floor therapy, and it was with a wand.
But that's a glass wand.
Yeah, I don't think it was this.
It's a different wand. It's a wand that you use like in massage. So when you have backache, right, and your back is hurting, you go to rub it, you feel those two little knots and everything in the vagina. Well, your muscles of the pelvis can get knots and tighten up. Now, you're in a relationship. Vaginist, whenever I hear vaginist, that means there's fear of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're tightening up before you, whatever it is. So there's a fear there. There's vaginismus. There's a fear.
And so, for people that have not heard of vaginismus,
that's, go ahead.
I want to make sure that.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to use that as V.
No, V. I love it. We ain't going to throw V out there. But vaginismus is definitely like, if you are experiencing painful sex.
Yes.
Maybe you don't know why it's painful. Maybe mm-hmm. you think you're dry. Maybe you think your partner is too large. But that fear and that cramming up psychologically is where your vagina muscles are strengthening to where
you just don't feel safe
having sex.
Exactly. And so you remain tightened and the muscles just remain tight and in an uncomfortable position. And so you go to a pelvic floor physical therapist because it's like going to a massage therapist. And they just work that pelvic floor and work it and talk to you and get you to understand and try to break the cycle that's there. There's a cycle there. And if you break that, then you can break the pain.
So, as an OBGYN, have you had a couple come into your office where they're both expressing that sex is not the most pleasurable for them? And then the woman had to maybe take you aside and let you know that psychologically she's not there because of how this person is treating her. Like, what has been the conversations with couples who have come
in? Yeah, so generally you got to come in when a person comes in to see me about sex. Best sex organ is right here between your ears, right? So if you're in the wrong state of mind, or if you're not pleasure, or you've been working your ass doing podcast off and you coming home, if you ain't in the mood, it just ain't gonna be there. So you got to talk about those things first. So what is it that you're trying to improve upon? That's the first question I ask.
What has been the common thing that's been an issue in relationships besides vaginal lubrication, or what's been an issue?
Usually it's not that, like I told you from the beginning, it's not the man will say something if the woman will. But 9 times out of 10, we're happy enough. We're happy. It works because it's us sharing. So most of the time it's the woman that's coming to me and she's saying, I'm doing yoga or Pilates, and when I do some, I hear air go in my vagina, or I hear air come out of my vagina.
Oh.
Or I used to use tampons, and now my tampons are falling out. Now I got to use the maxi pads. Or when I'm sitting on the toilet and I sit down, I go to wipe, I feel something I ain't never felt before. What the hell is going on?
Your pussy's falling out.
Yes.
Not the pussy falling out.
Yeah. All these things are happening, and what happens is that they go to the OBGYN, and they say, I'm feeling something. It ain't right. And they look and they say, everything's fine. No problem.
Now, what is the average age for this?
Oh, it can happen at age. When are you going to have children? Children affects the pelvic floor as well as age affects the pelvic floor.
So should I get a C-section and just ask for one?
You can. Yeah. But that doesn't necessarily think it's going to remain that way. You're going to do far better than you would if you deliver it through. But that is not necessarily the case because you hold the baby down in the pelvis.
So it's pushing down. Right, right.
Yeah.
I want to ask you something that compares to me science versus spiritual. So when I broke up with a relationship that I viewed traumatic, my hips were the tightest they had ever been. I couldn't walk certain ways when I laid, I couldn't stretch. When I did my bar class, it hurt. Mm. And so many women DM'd me and was like, oh, it's because you carry trauma in your hips.
Mm-hmm.
And
the body keeps score. It's a book you need to read.
Yeah,
and
there
so,
it is.
And so I want to know if that was my experience, not in a holistic or spiritual way, scientifically, why or how that happens. Because, of course, I'm not a stars and moons bitch. So everyone's like, oh, girl, it's because you're psychologically, you're sad, you're grieving. All of this lives in your hips. What would you say to a patient who comes to you? Do you get into holistic medicine? Are you spiritual?
Yeah, of course. We talk about it, right? You got to talk about it because we know in medicals, when we go through medicine, we're always told that there's a mental part with it, a bio, psycho, and social issue with it.
Bio, psycho, and social.
So if just think about your kid. Well, you don't have any kids. I got a whole bunch of kids. I got six of them. But you got kids.
Oh,
and then
yeah,
when they
I
like.
Do.
So like when.
Oh. You delivered all of them?
I deliver 4 out of 6.
Okay.
So when you think about kids, when they get sick, all of a sudden they seem to regress a little bit. You know, like if you have a kid that's been off the bottle. But when they get sick, that's what they want is the bottle. So there's a psychological aspect that's feeling the pain and discomfort that they're having. Mm. So you had a biopsychosocial phenomenon. Nothing wrong with it.
Wow.
You understood it. You fixed it. Did you not?
It took a while. Mm-hmm. I had to detach from sex. Like I realized that where I was trying to fill the void of a sexual relationship, I went back to who I felt was comfortable, but I felt empty. And I think it led to my hips feeling even tighter.
You didn't want to open up. Yeah, you didn't want to do
good
it
with anybody. Uh-huh. Like literally from cuddling to just being around them.
Yeah.
I literally did not feel comfortable. And so many of shout out to the Whore Hive. So many of the listeners, like as I was expressing this, they're like, oh, girl, it's because trauma's in your hips. And I was like, no, not y'all making me a spiritual bitch. But as I like started going more and more to bar class, but also just in therapy, working through my traumas, I did my hips. Like, I was able to start opening up a little bit more. And, it was interesting. I didn't know that connection.
I do want to get into some stuff about your patients.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So, I want to know about trans women. Have you worked with any?
I haven't worked with any. I can't do much with trans. I'm an OBGYN. The most that I can do with trans, which kind of goes along with what you were talking about, labia majoraplasty. The scrotal becomes the labia majora. It's actually the homologue to the vulva, right? So sometimes it's not put together as pretty as they would like it to be. So there's some different techniques that I can use to try to maybe tighten it, flatten it, smooth some things out, and make things look a little bit different, but I can't do anything more than
that. What about trans men that want to enlarge their clitoris? Like, have you dealt with any trans men?
Not in that aspect.
Okay.
Yeah, but I have had to enlarge clitorises.
You have? For what reason?
So as you age, good thing for the audience, as you age, the clitoris will get smaller.
Okay. Right?
As men age, their penis will get smaller too. So there's lack of sensitivity. Sometimes it's too small and you can't get anything. So you can use a little testosterone in that area and gently do that over a small amount, a prescribed amount, how I would ask you to do it. And you can see growth in the clitoris in a way, hopefully improve sensation. I can also use that magic stick and use and warm around that clitoris.
Mm-hmm.
And it stimulates small nerve fiber density. It stimulates blood flow.
To bring it back, the nerves back.
Yes, the blood flow.
What about when it comes to kink? I had a friend of mine who was an ER doctor who said there were a lot of kinks that people did that caused trauma to the body.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one specifically she talked about was eating batteries, like some crazy shit.
Mm.
Are there any kinks that you've seen done to the vagina that, whether it be like gaping or something?
Yeah, those things are obviously going to change the pelvic floor, right? The vagina is resilient, right? We can have babies, it'll snap back. It will after a couple times, but if you're using larger toys and you use it, your body, after a few times, your body says, oh, you want me to relax a little bit? This is coming. I need to make room. This is how you want me to be. And so you'll get more relaxation. And so you get a bigger toy. And the next thing you know, you got...
Wait a second. So you're saying that someone's vagina...
Which is a myth.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Can change with toys, but not with babies. Like, I want to get into that because There's also this idea of miles. There's this idea of looseness when it comes to the vagina.
Yeah, nothing to do with miles.
Specifically, if you take
so if you got a big dick, then, fuck too much. It ain't really if you fucking too much. It's if the dick is big, then.
No, that's what I'm like.
That's what I'm saying. Right, exactly. So if the dick is big, oops, did I just say?
You did.
You guys got me.
You did.
Oh, you want to mark that right there?
No, you don't have to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So what that would mean then is if you had a person, a larger person than your partner, one or two times, then it ain't going to change.
But if that's your hub,
then it's going to change. It's going to accommodate.
Interesting.
Jet Set and Jasmine.
I was about to say.
We done seen show husbands.
Huge.
And I just got to say, I want to know what that pussy feel like to somebody else. What is that man saying? But you know what's crazy? She literally said on the show, oh, he has to see other people sometimes.
Because she wants a break from it.
Yeah.
Because it's so big.
That's damn, I feel bad for her.
How'd you feel bad for her? I love that for her. I want someone so big that I have to share it. That's actually a dream.
Have you ever had someone want to do tightening because their partner's smaller?
Oh, yeah. A lot of times.
You don't just tell them to have anal sex?
Well, it's different, right? There's a difference, right? The anal sex is going to stimulate one aspect of the penis. It's not stimulating all the way through the vagina. So it's just a ring and you're going to just feel that ring, but you're not feeling anything beyond.
So anal sex does, let's clear it up, does feel different.
Does feel different.
Than vagina sex.
Yeah. But there's other reasons why a man might want anal sex more. Right? Maybe he does. That's a sign. That's one of the signs.
Well, what's the sign? Tell us the sign.
If your husband or partner is asking for more anal than they usually have.
That pussy done kind of.
Yep.
Ah! Yep. That is not. Don't do
that's
that.
That's true.
Don't be putting that out, though.
Can I be
that's
honest?
What, that's, so wait, I mean, if he's
asking for it that much.
Yeah.
It's because he's bored with your vagina?
He want to feel the tightness. Or,
he's not saying that asking for it means that. He's saying asking for it frequently.
Yes, and more often than you're going like, why is this?
Why you only want to put it in my booty hole?
Yeah. What's wrong? That's what it's made for. Why you? Right? Then that's when you need to start asking some questions. But don't ask them in the bed.
I agree.
What's wrong with it?
Conversations like that should never be asked in the bedroom.
Right.
So then let's get into that. How would a woman respectfully to her partner ask why her man is now asking for something else? And I only ask that too because it could go both ways, right? Being on tour with tonight's conversation, a lot of men are asking A, for their butthole to be played with and don't know how to ask for that. But you're also saying if a man is asking to have anal sex with you, he may be wanting to experience it because either the hole's not as tight. Or could there be another reason? But also, how does this conversation
happen? Yeah, it could be another reason.
How do you have this conversation with your partner?
That's why you have a cosmetic gynecologist, because I can talk about sex. And I'll say, and
You talk with couples about sex?
Yeah, sure.
Do you feel like you get into a therapy mode?
Sometimes you do.
Tell us about a time a couple started fighting.
I had a lady that came in, and she had a lot of relaxation. And it was a lot. It was going to be a very difficult case.
I love how you said it. She was open.
And
what was her age and children?
She was I think she was in her 40s and she had 6 children.
Okay.
So you get a picture now, right? And
that thing was
She wanted it fixed. She wanted it fixed. And he was like, hell no, what the hell? Ain't nothing wrong with it. Feels great. It's wonderful. She said, never mind him, and kicked him out the office.
Wow.
And so we had the conversation, and she was like, ain't nothing wrong with his penis. I love him. He's great. I ain't feeling what I want to feel.
Oh, wow. So it's literally.
It's the opposite.
Yes.
And I wasn't even thinking. Yeah.
So then I fixed it. And when
which may be why.
Wait, let him get it out.
But it may be why he had such an issue with it. He may have been felt.
He felt insecure.
He was feeling insecure.
Yes, exactly.
What were you going to say?
So when he comes into there. My wife is part of the business, but she does the office. So she does office and all the other stuff. They go in there to talk to her to ask, tell them how much money it is. Hell no, fuck. Walks out the thing and is mad. She goes, don't worry about it. I got this covered. So she paid the price. It was good price. It was $10K. And so then we fixed it. And she was amazed. She came back. She said, "Oof!" And he came back, "Doc, I'm sorry. there's a difference. But before that, he didn't care."
Can I ask you? There's a psychological aspect to medicine, right? Mm-hmm. And going to the doctor, and for whatever reason, cosmetology, when they feel like it's not a life or death situation, is not covered by insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So the way you even put the price tag on this is $10K. I assume this was out of pocket.
Yeah.
Which may have also been why he
was upset too,
in the way that it did.
That's true.
In what cosmetic OBGYN procedures would an insurance cover, if any?
If you zip your pussy up?
Yep. None.
Yep. If you zip it up, they'll do that. Yeah. They'll cover that. They'll cover things that are broken.
Wait, what is a zip? So my mom,
they'll cover
like
if
the labia is that long, if it's that, it has to be like affecting your everyday life, right?
Oh.
So my mom wants to do this facelift. I swear to you. She's like, I just want it right here. I just want it right here. Just my eye. The skin is hanging too much. I'm like, Mom, and my mom is 72 and she's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, if I get to the point where I can't see no more, they gonna do my facelift free. And I was laughing about it, but she's right. Because it actually has to affect your everyday life for it to be an insurance thing.
Wow.
But then you're going to get it under insurance, and then that doctor isn't going to be the one that's doing it all the time.
Mm.
And so you get jacked. That's the other thing. So
save up for that pussy.
Right. So like a lot of people try to do that with like labiaplasty and even these they try to cut the corner. Go through insurance, and these people aren't trained on how to do these things.
So then I want to ask you then the difference between what you do in maybe a vagisteam or a lot of these things that we can essentially go to a spa and get done now that advertises as a vaginal tightening or vaginal rejuvenation.
Yep, yep.
As an OBGYN, what are your thoughts on these vagisteams?
I don't like them.
I've never even heard that makes you tighter.
No?
No.
The vaginal rejuvenation, that's...
Yeah, vaginal rejuvenation
is not the steam.
Yeah, but that's another problem with the vaginal rejuvenation. Also, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Right? Is it vaginal dryness? Is it tightening? Is it labiaplasty? Is it my drawer? Is it that my clitoral hood is stuck? Is it that I can't orgasm? All of those things. What is those things?
Huh? Yeah, that's not a surgery, though.
Yeah, but they sit over the pot. We have now all these conversations regarding things that you should do from douching that now we're learning is not healthy because you need your...
That's horrible. Should douching never douche.
Can we talk about
what about
that?
Douching with water?
I don't think you should douche at all. I don't do douche, but when I used to do it all the time, I used to tell my patients, they probably, you don't need to douche. It's a self-cleaning oven. There's probably the person who made the douche was this little old white man with some glasses.
Let's talk about self-cleaning oven, though.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Because we've got VV that happens, right?
Yep.
And when you know your microflora is off, you know the pH is off, and you may not want to take antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Boric acid douching. There's so many different options.
Boric acid is effective treatment because all you're doing is changing the acidic pH of the vagina.
But they literally have boric acid douche.
Oh, so, I haven't seen those.
I haven't seen.
Yeah, they do. I'm also asking this because we interviewed a porn star who was saying she really doesn't have issues, right? And she's like talked about pH and things like that. So for me, when I've ever heard a friend of mine gets BV out of nowhere, I'm like, that nigga fucking somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Mm.
There's an association between BV and multiple partners.
Right.
There is.
So
very true.
When women are coming into you and they just randomly get BV with the same partner, have you ever said, maybe your man fucking wins?
I'll say, you know, Weezy, you've been here a couple times for this. I do want to share with you that the evidence suggests that women who have multiple episodes of BV, there is a potential that could be because of multiple partners. I don't know what you do. I don't know what your boyfriend does, but I want you to have that.
Not only multiple partners, is there a way that the shit on his dick just don't match with my pussy?
Well, you like, never go butt
wait,
to
shit
ass.
No, not shit on his dick like that. I'm saying maybe...
Oh, his own bacteria.
His own bacteria does not match with the bacteria in my vagina. Maybe it has nothing to do with other women.
I mean, that's possible.
Can there be an incompatibility with just bacteria from one person to another?
Yeah, but you're going to get used to it. If you're stable, your body's going to adjust. I mean, that's going to change. That's going to not be forever and ever and ever.
Your pH kind of like...
No, you'll get adjusted to the bacteria. She was asking about the shit
about
on the
dick. Bacteria.
What the bacteria, you know, your body will become accustomed. Okay.
What up, Bread Trend?
Y'all, make sure you get your tickets now. May 5th, we are at the Earth Theater in London.
Listen, we made this a specific request to be in London on the weekend so that all of our Euro people can come and see this. We want our whole
Euro people.
European people, okay. European people, whatever. All the black people that live over there, just take that motherfucking Eurostar and come and see us. We're going to be there May 5th. We are having a whole new show, one that you didn't see. This is a part of the Climax Tour. So even if you were on the Climax Tour and you need a little trip, it's going to be warmer. It's going to be fun. Come through and see us.
That's right. Make sure you head on over to whorehive.com and get your tickets now.
Now, what about in cases of like, sorry, what was I thinking? We hear a lot of time that, you know, coming inside is going to give you the BV.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always kind of thought that the pH, it'll just level out. You get used to it. Is that not true?
As far as the...
A man, like if a man coming inside of you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. You'll get used to it. But that's the whole thing about where they're talking about different partners because you're putting in different bacteria.
I have always thought BV meant you got another bitch.
Not always, but...
Mm-hmm. Not BV, you equal, you got another bitch.
Listen, when I tell you my homegirl has had it twice this year, not this year, but twice in 6 months with the same person, I'm like,
And she's never had that issue before?
No.
Yeah.
She don't want to listen to me. She was like, oh. Yeah.
So then we need to
drinks
get her that
a lot of soda. And
not the soda.
Bitch.
Not the soda, the weed, and the hookah being to blame.
Now, what about porn stars? Because Kazumi told us she doesn't experience that. So how is that? Do you ever have sex workers come in with BV often? Because how is it not happening to them?
I haven't taken care of a porn star.
What about escorts?
Nothing? No.
Well, they also go to talent testing is what.
But I mean, they could have had children. Maybe they could have had a regular doctor.
Well, maybe they didn't tell me back then. I mean, I've had, you know, it's a different way of practicing now than I did before.
Mm.
So when you come see me now, you're paying me out of pocket. Before, you're paying me with insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance pays you differently than out of pocket.
These rich hoes ain't selling pussy for real.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
The rich hoes is selling pussy.
He said not for real.
I didn't say that.
Yes, he did.
No, I didn't.
He said he bored with that pussy. And okay, so let's dig in a little bit more into age. I feel like a lot of this is associated with older women. Can you tell us, for the women listening in their 20s and 30s, some of the issues that you've seen come up that surprised you with younger girls?
Let's see. Surprised me with younger women generally coming is going to be birth control with younger women. It's going to be...
Why is that? How young? What do you mean?
Well, younger women, you're talking about reproductive age. They don't want to get pregnant. So using birth control...
Oh, but you said surprise.
Can I ask you,
well, I don't...
Can I ask you why that is the Tylenol? Can I ask you why birth control is...
You get
a solution for when a lot of women go into a doctor, if their flow is heavy, if their cramps are really excruciating, if anything regarding their reproductive cycle is abnormal, the solution is birth control.
That's the first step, right? They give them birth control to regulate things.
Okay.
But did they ask you a lot of questions? Did they ask you what's going on? What's happening? Did they do a really detailed history? Did they just want to quickly, and you know, this is insurance today. Come in. We're going to do pills first. I know that's the appropriate first step. Take that. Go.
But natural but isn't a moneymaker.
Huh?
Like, that's the thing too. Like, and no offense, but like for me with the hormone therapy, the first thing that when I went to the doctor, they wanted to give me shots of estrogen, estradiol cream inside of my vagina. No one ever said, why don't you try this, this or that first? Like, when it comes to holistic and natural things, I feel like we can't really trust a doctor for that.
You can't. So, for OBGYN, you can trust them to the point, like I just told you. We're going to take care of...
Questions. Huh? In terms of how they ask you questions to really see how they
but
can.
Yeah, but you're also talking about... We don't get trained about sexual wellness. We don't get trained in medicine as OBGYNs in our residency about caring for the modern day women and their concerns.
What's the modern day woman?
You keep saying your group.
I'm going to look at, where's the camera?
Hold on, I didn't say that.
It starts there?
He told that PRF, get them a little modern day. And she typed in whore and we popped up.
No.
Wait a second. The way you said we didn't get trained in sexual wellness as if sex is not the way that we reproduce. Then you said modern day women about 5, 11 times.
Yeah, what is that? Someone who's having more sex in it.
No, what it is. How
single.
Okay, I'm going to explain to you. So the modern day. The modern day woman wants certain things, right? They are now saying, hey, you got this show. Why? Because you want to educate women about different options and experiences. Mm-hmm. Right? You want them to have intimacy. You want them to be able to experience different things, do different things, know about different things. That's the modern day woman. The other woman was left on the shelf. We weren't talking to her. We weren't telling her nothing. Mm-hmm. We weren't increasing the longevity of her vulva.
You clean that up
you
well.
See what I'm saying?
He's a lot. Doctor, media trained.
Well. I'm just, no, I tell you what I mean.
No, you're right. I ain't going to
so now,
that was.
So that's why we have cosmetic gynecologists. See, I'm getting loud because this is what I'm passionate about. But now we have cosmetic.
We thought you was calling us hoes.
No.
We
but
are.
Now cosmetic gynecologists are saying, we understand that there's more than just a pap smear and birth control. We want to help. What? You're not lubing? Come here. This is what I got for you.
You're not lubing.
Hey, right? I got this,
what is
this for you.
I'm for real. When I tell you I want to be like a waterfall, I'm back to normal. But I want him to drown.
Depending on your time of the month.
That's
when I'm ovulating.
Drink lots of water. You drink lots of water. Your discharge changes throughout your menstrual cycle.
And do.
No, so, when I ovulate, it's bad. I mean, I have to wipe it up.
Yeah. When you're ovulating is you're to get the most amount because then it makes it easier to get pregnant. The sperm can swim easier and faster. Yeah,
now, like we do have a few questions for our home mail from fans. One I thought was interesting. Is getting your eggs counted invasive, expensive, or even necessary if I'm 32 years old?
Ooh.
No, if you're having normal, regular, predictable menstrual cycles, you should be able to assume that you're having ovulation. When you don't ovulate, then your cycle will be off. If there are other changes that would make
you think, off?
Oh, it could be any greater than plus or minus 7 days.
Okay, a week
okay.
off. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was 4 days off this month. That's why I was like, oh.
Okay, a week
off. Bro, I was planning my abortion. It was crazy. I'm not even playing. Y'all. The way that I've been out here living, I was like, one day late, I said, and he wrote me every morning, your period came, baby. It was bad.
So I did hear that inflation didn't take heed into the abortion area. It's still like $500, which is about what I got it.
Insurance will cover it.
No. Insurance never covers abortion. Mm. Unless it is a life or death situation. I just had that conversation
with
my mom.
When I was 25 years old, Planned Parenthood took my insurance and I only paid $75.
But you still have to pay.
I mean,
like, it doesn't cover.
That's a pretty good
copay. My abortion was $500. But to my knowledge, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't mind being corrected.
I really don't hope
I've heard true. Even from my mom, who is currently in the healthcare field, insurances don't cover abortions. Now, maybe because Planned Parenthood is one of those nonprofit organizations that are funded by people, they came in on it. But if you go to like a normal physician or a hospital, by the way, fuck that. We got a fucking OBGYN here.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Are abortions covered by insurance?
No.
That's what
So the Planned Parenthood I went out, maybe it was a
sliding scale, most likely.
Which pretty good. So next question. I don't think I have BV, but when I'm stressed, there's a smell.
Interesting.
Finish.
She said, how can I eliminate this?
Well, every vagina has a little bit of a smell, just like balls have a little bit of smell to them, right?
Right.
So, that's not unusual. You want to worry about odors that are unpleasant, off-putting, discharge that's yellow, green.
I've never seen that, actually.
Can I ask you, with pheromones then, your vagina and balls, can stress change the pheromones of the smell of you? Is that normal? Does that make sense?
I think stress could change your response to an odor or smell.
Okay.
But I don't know if you
So maybe actually she's actually
change,
not even...
But it may be just her response to that
to the
odor.
Smell.
Damn, the next question. How the fuck I keep getting BV and how can I get rid of it for good?
Stop fucking a nigga.
You do that. One of the things that you when I treat that, you give Flagyl, and then they do need to take rest, meaning not having intercourse. You need to treat the full course is one thing.
Ah,
other things sometimes.
I thought Flagyl is yeast infection.
No, Diflucan.
Diflucan. Oh, because that's after
or the cream.
I have to take, yep,
is the yeast infection.
Okay,
so you can use metronidazole. Do it for 7 days, but they got to rest. You can't let the normal bacteria come back.
That's
in,
the thing, ladies. When your doctor say it. Take 2 days of rest, bitch, give it four. Calm down.
Yep,
don't
yep,
get right
yep.
into heaven.
Give it. Give it some rest.
So we got two more.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we get anesthesia or pain meds for an IUD insertion?
Ooh. Yeah, I've heard that one.
Okay,
is that because of the cost?
No, I don't think it has to do with the cost. I used
Good
to
question.
Use it. The thing. Some of it just has to be with training. This is the difference in mindset that some of the physicians are doing. So if you're doing it in the hospital, you're just trying to quickly get it done and do it. You're coming to see me. I can't afford not one of y'all to talk bad about me.
Mm.
Right? So when you come, you got this. Let me give you some water. I'm going to numb you up real good. You know, there's a difference in how you practice.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the difference from when you go to a hair braider and then a bitch with her own salon.
There you go.
You get
what? These bitches be charging $800.
No, they do. But, right. But you get the mimosa and the wine in between.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
How it says, okay.
HSV. Is it possible to conceive children with someone diagnosed with HSV?
Yeah, herpes. Absolutely. You can get pregnant whether you have herpes. You can deliver vaginally if you have herpes.
I felt like I knew the answer to that, but I think maybe people didn't.
They don't. They must not. Well, I used to get that question all the time. Herpes.
Well, I think also because they still align HSV with HIV mm-hmm. as one of the things you don't get rid of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that we have been brought up to really think about how we view STDs,
mm-hmm.
we know that herpes and HIV are the two that you can't get rid of.
Right.
Everyone now looks at chlamydia, gonorrhea, everything else is, it's curable.
I can get rid of it. Yeah.
And so
that fucks up those fallopian tubes now.
Yeah, yeah. Chlamydia will kill it. Silent.
Pill.
Yep. Silent killer of fertility.
If you're there, and can you speak on that a little bit? Because again,
about chlamydia?
Well, chlamydia sometimes may not have an itch, a scratch. You may not even know you have it again without being tested.
Mm-hmm.
But the silent killer, can we talk about a little bit why and also why we don't view chlamydia as so dangerous?
Well, I think they need to start. So yep, it's easy. That's the exact reason they think is you take, they have it now. You can mix a drink it once.
For real?
Yeah. A one-time slurry, put in a little bit of water, drink it.
Not
boom.
Not emergency.
Yep. Now you can take two tablets and get rid of it.
I haven't had an STD in years. Maybe early 20s, I think I had it. And I get tested so regularly. And one of my homegirls made a joke with me, like, ain't no way.
Oh, they said, yeah.
Ain't no way. Uh-huh. And I'm like, damn, bro. But she was like, telling me, she's a naturopathy doctor. She was like, I think chlamydia nowadays, it can be so mild. Maybe it's going away on its own with people.
No, let's be very clear.
No, like, really. She said that. She's like, if you've taken an antibiotic in your life, if you've had, because trichinosis has become so rampant.
Trich is very, that's the one.
Literally. And again, she's naturopathy. She was like, I believe you've either had tests in your life that probably didn't pass. You probably had another antibiotic.
She told you this?
She was saying that it's.
She's saying this because you're so sexually active that there's no way.
No, she's saying that the amount of women that are coming in with more than like two or three partners in a year.
Okay.
It's happening. Metropolitan cities, it's growing.
Right.
Even open relationships. She's like, that's the most common. People that are having promiscuous sex with a partner or not.
I mean, there's gonorrhea and things that are now coming to where they're saying that now the medication that they've created is not because it's turning into like COVID where it's growing
super
to where,
bugs. Yep.
What is it called?
They're just super bugs.
Super
where they're
bugs.
Where they're not responding to traditional antibiotics and we have to
Go
and figure out different ways to give you the antibiotic to treat you.
I want to tell you this. One of my friends just had an STD. hold on, wait. This motherfucker was like, bro, I never seen this shit before. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. Okay, hold on. No.
I was about to say, what is we about to do?
That person sent the name of it. And I was like,
oh, it's a new STD you never
heard
of?
What is this, Haney? And we were all laughing about it. You know what I'm saying? Because they were like, yo, like, this is not coming up on regular tests.
You don't even know how to spell it. The way she is going through group chats. Screenshots, Instagram,
right,
Google.
Bad. Hold on.
What is the name of this STD? Because I need to know what superbug is out here.
Doc, I need you to help
us. I just got back into these streets.
There it goes.
What is superbug? What's the name of that?
I circled it. You see it?
Ureaplasma and urolyticum. Yeah.
What the hell is that?
That's just it's a bacteria that what is in the vagina. Huh?
In your urethra?
No, that's just the name of it.
Okay.
It's just another bacteria.
Okay.
Sometimes you see BV with it as well, but you just treat it with antibiotic. It's just another.
But wait. This friend got sick on a trip to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
You giving a lot of details on a trip.
This person is not on Instagram. It does.
Okay.
So this person got sick on a trip to Paris, got this test there, and mm-hmm. was like, "I've been tested like 5 times in the States. Never did this come up." That thing that you just read, I don't know what the fuck that is. What is it possible that we could be passing something like that amongst each other and have no idea because it's not
because the U.S. doesn't test for it?
Like, is that something that you've been seeing in tests, or is it because we're not doing?
Usually, I would see that in the urine though. When I used to run across that, when I would see it in the urine.
But like, we know that they don't test HSV unless you ask for it, and HIV is the same.
Right.
So is this something that potentially doesn't go through screening?
No, I don't think that.
Bruh, look at this.
Uroplasma urolyticum.
Lyticum. Yep.
What's the short word for this?
UTI?
Uroplasm.
That look like UTI?
Mycoplasma hominis. So then, you know, they were like, yo, do I need to hit on my partners right now? And I'm like, bruh, if they got tested on. Wait, you said no?
Yeah, it's just like a bacteria. There's no
Wait, for this, you would say you wouldn't have to hit up your partners for
it. I don't think so.
Which STDs? Oh, interesting. If you feel like if someone has to get antibiotics for an STD, you feel like there are STDs that they don't have to tell their partners that they're taking antibiotics
that's
on?
That's not what I said.
So let's.
You said, bitch, I said that one.
Huh?
But Lisa,
Bryce.
Why this one? But why this one would you not have to tell your partner?
Because it's just there's a whole bunch of bacteria that have these really crazy different names. It's just
so that's not an STD.
No.
Interesting.
No, I have to double check. But I mean, I'm a little bit away from it. But in my as I recollect, this is not associated with
which is probably why we don't know
vagina.
The name.
Wait,
so it could just be a bacteria that
in the bladder and that was cultured and showed up. And they said, "Oh shit, that's uroplasm, urolyticum. Let them know and teach them and treat it."
Okay,
it's kind of like that kind of thing,
bruh. Well, that motherfucker's gonna have to make a lot of calls. Cause that whole anyway.
Chill.
What? Nobody knows what it is. You're allowed to talk shit about people and no one knows who it is.
We're podcasters. This is what we do.
Yeah. Anyway, Dr. Reed, please tell people where to find you. We know you're in Sacramento, so maybe some of our whore hive there could come and visit you.
And we have a really large whore hive in the Bay.
Yeah, please come. I'm in Davis, California. You can find me at thecosmeticgyn.com, drmichaelreed.com.
You better have $10,000.
I am a little expensive. Insurance. I am, but I mean, I do some really good work and I'm really educated and I can really take care of a whole bunch of things. And what you get from me is that warrior that's going to fight for you so that you can have what you want to have and improve the longevity of your vulva.
Well, I would like a free Zoom because I ain't got, we've been going to, I go to walk in gyno too. I'm tired of that bitch.
I also want to say, I think it's important for us to create more of this network where we support doctors and OBGYNs and physicians that look like us.
I do want to plug this. I mean, it's why I want to plug it because it's in line and you can always cut it. It's in line with what I'm trying to
do. We ain't going to cut
it. It's called the Institute of Restorative and Cosmetic Gynecology. It's a training program that I started. This training program. And what we do is we bring physicians in, right? 10 of them. We have cadavers. I give lectures.
Mm-hmm.
I tell them about the anatomy, how you do these procedures correctly.
You take them to school.
And yes. And then they go into the lab.
Wow.
And then we practice on a human being, of course, a cadaver, but we at least have that much training. You don't get any of that kind of training when you come out of residency.
Mm.
So I've started this institute to train doctors to be gladiators for the modern day woman.
You hoes.
For you hoes.
Hold on. I'm going to use this tonight. What this going to do to me?
Okay, look, go ahead and explain.
I got to use a mixing bowl and put this shit in my pussy.
Yeah, so this is a CO2 lift V.
It's going to burn.
CO2, it's giving chemistry. I'm going to let you do this. You go ahead.
CO2. They also have CO2 lift.
Holy
which you
shit.
Could just use on the face. You can use this on the vulva.
What's it going to do?
So it helps with moisturizing. Remember you're talking about...
don't say
your dryness.
This will help
you. You a dry pussy.
I used to be. It's back.
This will change your life.
You fanning yourself with the CO2, bro.
You do that 5 days. There should be 10 packets, right?
Can I have sex in between?
You're going to do it. So this is how you do it. You mix it. You're going to do it at night. You're going to mix packet one with packet two in a bowl. Mix it. It'll be orangish in color. You're going to put it inside the vagina and put a little bit on the outside of the vagina.
You about to turn
and then
the
you're
going to
jump in bed. So you're going to do it after you've had sex.
Oh.
So I can make sure you don't come over. Okay.
All right. Then.
I got 5 days before why. I'm good.
Once you get in bed, you can't go on all over the place because it tightens up kind of like a face mask. And then what you do is at O Dark 100, when you get up to go pee, it'll plop in the toilet. Then you jump in bed. And then when you wake up in the morning, shower. It's gone.
Well, you got to pee it out first?
Well, when you go pee, it'll plop
out. I ain't going to hold you. That's like when you take cranberry pills, your piss turn orange.
Bro, how many?
It's like the same shit.
Okay, so it's five. Where's
Hey Wolf? Facts. Hey Wolf, can we get some BTS of this for Patreon? Where she mix it in the bowl and you like blur out her putting it on her pussy and see a face flip on a pussy.
I can't use both of them.
No, that's the whole idea. There should be five of them.
Three, yep. See,
I put the little one. These directions ain't good enough.
You take one big, one little.
One big, one little.
Mix them. Stir them up. There's a syringe in there, isn't there?
Uh huh.
Oh, you about to shoot it up your pussy. It up.
Yep. Push it into the vagina. And then you're going to rub whatever's left in the bowl all over the vulva. Just indiscriminate. Just put it on there.
I break my pussy. I'm going to tag you.
You can tag me. You better call me and let some people know it changed. And it was because of Dr. Reed.
When I tell you I'm going to Hawaii and I'm trying to look like the ocean.
Oh.
You're trying to look like the ocean.
For real. And honestly, you know, I've never talked about what I experienced on Horrible. Because it had to do with me taking antidepressants. And I was like, I just don't really want to get into it. But now that my pussy's back, I'm cool to talk about it. We'll see. We'll see if you about what you be talking about. We're going to find out if that degree fake.
I know I am. You'll call me.
Ooh.
Thank you, Dr. Reed. We enjoyed this episode so much. Y'all, please go check him out if you're in the area. If you have any questions, or even if, you know, you take a little trip to get your pussy done. Get your little designer pussy.
Yeah.
But also, if you want to see Weezy's pussy, join us on Patreon because maybe she'll do some BTS of this experiment on her vagina.
Mandy's full of shit.
Join us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/horribledecisions, where we have bonus episodes every week on top of BTS and other things. We're creating other shows over there. So join us in support of us. And this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. It's bonus bitches.
For those of you niggas that aren't spending another $5, we are now in 4K, 6K, or 6K if you're nasty. So upgrade to the next tier to see this episode on video. And if you're already looking at us, you're welcome because my titties are out.
Are they? Yeah, they are kind of out.
Sorry,
and baby, I'm in here with a goddamn hoodie and sneakers because this weather is ridiculous. I just got back from fucking Miami and I didn't know that I was coming back home to a snowstorm.
Was it fucking Miami or what?
It was sucking Miami.
Why wasn't it fucking?
Girl, because the nigga got too drunk and threw up all over himself. So no dick took place there. So yeah. And he's just like, I feel so terrible. And I'm like,
you should.
Yeah, you should. But also,
wait, how was it sucking?
So because I sucked him before the Super Bowl. But then we had to all go watch Super Bowl. And so we all came. And I had fun with it. Like, I had my homegirl sit on the couch while I did it. Because he kind of, like, I'm trying to inch him to a threesome. He hasn't had, like, a threesome.
Did she
threesome
want a threesome
yet.
With him?
We fucked already before, though. So I was like, girl, just come downstairs and watch me suck this nigga dick real quick. And so it's so funny because he was so nervous. And that's, like, my homegirl. So she was like, yes, bitch, that shit sound wet. You doing that thing? But no, I literally was like, girl, just come down here and watch me suck this nigga dick real quick.
Why did she join in and start sucking
dick? Because he was so nervous even that. Like, he's sitting there, and, bitch, the game just started. And I'm like, nigga, you ain't finna make me Miss Usher. We got to go to this party. So I'm like going at his pants. And he literally just pulled it out. Then it's just sitting on his chest. So I like just go to start sucking it. His dick is ginormous. His dick is amazing.
Okay, so it was a good dick to watch.
No, his dick is great. Well, no, she felt nervous to even look because he was so nervous. Bitch, he was just like this. Like, he was so... Bitch, he was so fucking nervous. I was just like, oh my God, this is so annoying.
Set the scene. So are you staying in the room with him?
No, he gets me out. That's why she came. I get my own room every time he flies me out.
Why?
What do you mean, why? Because I do. And I sent him my first class ticket. I don't need to be all up under your shit. And I wanted to be with my friend. Like, I had invited her to the game. And he, like I was driving around with her. So I got my own room. When I went to, when I go to, like, anywhere I go, I get my own room. And so I'll go to his room or he'll come to mine. But we don't sleep together. Like, we don't do all the cuddling and shit.
It's okay, new. So anyway.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Well, no, you said it's new, but normally you do
it. Well, it's not new. Like, it's the nigga that I would go and see, like, when my ex was.
So, you guys both come downstairs. Does he know she's coming downstairs?
We went upstairs.
Wherever, sorry.
He knew. He said, no, he knew. He said, both of y'all come down. And I was like, okay. And, of course, he was like, you trust her? I was like, bro, I'm not going to bring nobody around that I don't trust. So,
but wait, hold on. So he knew you were coming down to suck his dick.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I was coming down for.
That's what I'm like, if he said both of y'all come down, why are you coming down for?
Cause he don't, cause he's scary. He's just scary. I couldn't imagine. I would not be the hoe I am today if I had to go through that type of party and shit that these girls have to go to. Literally, for y'all, I'll share what the experience is like. So a lot of like basketball players now don't like going to clubs because there's phones. They get drunk. They get shit faced.
They literally make one. It's crazy.
They make clubs. So they'll like turn a restaurant or like a lounge into their own club. There'll be a DJ. There'll be an open bar. There's bottle service. Sorry. There's hookah. There's all the things. Except for niggas.
The bottle service part is the weirdest part.
It's weird.
The way.
Oh, they were coming out with sparklers,
bro. I went to one at the Mondrian. It was like, you know, when they were, I don't know if you've been to one of those. But basically at the Mondrian in New York, there's this top floor. It's probably like a lounge anyway, but it turns into a club. So I walk in and I didn't know that type of party it was. I knew a ball player invited me, but I just kind of thought he was having drinks with friends because we're not fucking with each other. So it didn't really, he was like, yo, I'm in New York too. Come through. So the bodyguard or the security looks at me and he's like, okay, she's cute, but is she invited to this party? I was like, I'm looking for my friend so-and-so. And he's like, okay, well, you'd have to go upstairs. I was like, okay, cool. And then he's like, well, I need your phone. And I'm like, no, I have to meet him up there.
No, they collected everyone's phone and put them in white envelopes. But like the party is literally just the team. Maybe the players like Dubois. And maybe a coach or two, or like a one of the people that were on the team. There was literally 10 niggas in this room. That's it. And easily 150.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350 plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.